Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew and chapter 3. Matthew and chapter 3. There's no mystery about how to have the blessing of God. And the Beatitudes is what's found in chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm certainly not going to preach all of the Beatitudes, but there's some truth here that I want to share with you, and I trust that God will arrest our attention. Look at chapter 3, last verse of the chapter, and verse 17. Stand with me, please. I want to read just a couple of verses, but I'll start with chapter 3 and verse 17. And lo, this is after the baptism of Christ, where God the Father says, Jesus said to John the Baptist, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness." And so John the Baptist baptized him. Jesus came up straightway out of the water. Verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Wow. There's an endorsement. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and then we have the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Beatitudes, and go to chapter 7 and verses 28 and 29, last two verses, at the end of his preaching. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." I think there's one of the great understatements of the Word of God. "And the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority." I guess so. That's a mic drop right there. "One having authority and not as the scribes." Absolute power of God. Absolute truth. Not milquetoast. Not mealy mouth. Not kind of fuzzy. He spoke as one having authority. Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God. I pray, Jesus, that you would get our attention, every single one of us. And God, you would help us to see our lives in the mirror of God's Word. And God, it's our prayer this morning that you would change our families. God, you would change us where we need to be changed. God, that you would help us to understand Holy Writ, Holy Scripture, apply it to our own lives personally, and God, make a right change. May we repent where repentance is needed. God, may we surrender where surrender is needed. God, as we hear truth that may be new truth to us, and we pray the Holy Spirit would ring the bell of our hearts and say, "That's it. Amen. That is what you need right now in your life." God, would you bless every single person here this morning? And Lord, if there's someone here not born again, we do pray for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to preach, and I'm not going to belabor any point, and so I'm going to fly through it. We're not going to dig real deep out of chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to preach, Jesus taught 7 Bible truths that will enrich your life. Let me stop right there before we go any further. This isn't a get better, feel good about yourself kind of sermon. That is not what this is. Our lives are to be enriched that we might be a better testimony. Our lives are to be enriched that we may have a bigger platform, that we might be an instrument in the hands of God. Don't short circuit, don't short sell the will of God in your life and say, be thinking this, "Well, I want to follow these things so that my life is better, so that I'm enriched, so I can enjoy life better." That's not what Jesus is teaching here, not at all. He's talking about, it's about being more like Jesus. If I and you are more like Christ, we will have a bigger platform. We will be a better instrument in the hands of God. And everything that God brings our way, man, it's going to be for the glory of God. It's going to be for reaching the lost. It's going to be for edifying the brethren. It's not so I can have new carpet in my house. It's not so I can feel good about myself in the middle of the week. That's not what it is. Matthew and chapter 7, and let's just go right to the very first verse. Matthew and chapter 7. I'm going to do my best to help you and your family this morning. I can't do anything, but I can teach you what Jesus taught, and I want to help you in where you're at with your family. I want to give to you the Word of God this morning. We're going to feast on Holy Scripture. If you let not Pastor Rader, but the Holy Spirit be your preacher. And if I'm anointed and I'm able to teach and preach with the power of God, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher, and you'll take the Holy Word of God and it'll get it inside you. And it'll change your life forever. The meat of God's Word. You're going to get it right now. Pull up a chair to the table of God and hear the Word of God. It says in verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Righteous judgment. I'll just start this out. The Scripture does not say we are not to judge. We do judge according to the Word of God. But he says it is to be a righteous judgment, and we're to be merciful in all of our judgment. Here's the devil's trick. It's like that freshman in Bible college. It's like that sophomore in theology class. They learn something new and they finally grasp it in their little mind, and they think that they become a one-note orchestra, and they go around judging all of the student body by that one thing. Judge not lest ye be judged. He said, because when you judge, you'll be measured by the same measurement. He goes on and says, we'll read it in a moment, get the beam out of your own eye. You know what that tells me? Jesus is telling the family of God, learn mercy. Learn to forgive 7 times 70. You are not Christ-like when you hold a grudge. You are not honoring God when you do not forgive. You are being just the opposite, and you get judgmental, and if you're not careful, you end up, you can't know another man's heart. I heard an old preacher say this, and it wasn't long ago, and I wrote it down, and I thought, that is powerful. You listen to the family of God. Family of God, listen to this. You should not judge another man by his weakest moment. We all have those weak moments. And if you put somebody in a little box because of their weakest moment and you neglect the rest of their life, man, I'm sure glad God in heaven does not hold grudges. I'm sure God in heaven is merciful. And in the family of God, it isn't that we let down the Word of God or we compromise the Word of God. We don't. Here's maturity. I become more like Jesus. Now, Jesus was absolutely perfect. I'm far from perfect. But I grow in grace and I become more like Jesus. And Jesus is always willing to forgive. He never compromised. But he didn't hold things over people's heads. And of course, we are not divine. We are not deity. And we've got struggles all along the way. If you get judgmental, you'll become cynical. And it won't be long and you'll think there isn't anything that's real in the family of God. So Jesus addresses this right away. And I will say it again. Be merciful. As the family of God, I used to say it this way. Give one another elbow room. That's one way of saying it. Practice mercy. Hold on to the Word of God. Don't compromise Scripture. But practice mercy. Your son does you wrong. Your daughter does something wrong. They break your heart. You don't hold that over their head. You love them anyway. You may correct what they've done wrong, but you still love them anyway. And you know what? Even if they don't understand it's wrong yet, you don't stop loving them. Amen. That's the family of God. So he says here in verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know, so when something's in your eye, it's hard to ignore. But it's amazing how carnal and how backslidden Christians can get and not see their own sin. And if you've gotten that far from God, I got to tell you, you're not close enough to Jesus. If you can see your brother's sin and you don't see your own beam, you've got a problem. Going to be a big fall. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I want to practice mercy all of my life, all of my life. I want to be known. I want to be known for a preacher, as a preacher of grace. I want to be known as a child of God that's strong and holds to the word of God and does not compromise, but at the same time, I'm merciful because that's the way my Savior was. And I understand I'm going to need that mercy probably this afternoon. So I'll practice mercy. 7 Bible truths to enrich your life. Be known as a merciful person. That's not a compromiser. Mercy means you got the truth, but you're giving some elbow room to your brethren. Look at verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. They were semi-wild scavengers in Jesus' day. It says, unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. That would be a foolish thing to do. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Don't waste your time on cynics, on people that find fault with their... Love them. Leave that door wide open. Tell them about Jesus and how God loves them and how you want to be their best. You want to be their friend and Jesus can be their best friend. But if all they can do is find, they're cynical about everything. Jesus very clearly said, don't waste your life on them. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Many unsaved people, they have no understanding. Give them to the truth. Give to them the truth. Love them. But don't waste moments on them when there are others waiting to hear the truth. Don't stop loving them. Some of them, they don't want answers. That's why they're cynics. All they want is drama. That's all they want. Be able to differentiate and move on from there. Verse 7, righteous judgment. Don't waste time with cynics. I'm summarizing. These are my own little points. Verses 7 through 11, there is a desperate need for prayer. It says, verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All those verbs, present tense. Jesus is teaching his followers, be a prayer warrior. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Have a prayer closet. Go to the throne of God. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The greatest unused and unappreciated power in the world today is prayer. If we are anything, we are a prayerless people in the 21st century. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, on Tuesday, we have a national day of prayer and fasting. We are absolutely involved in that. There are good Bible preaching churches all over America this Tuesday, and we are responsible on a national level for a half hour time slot from 8:30 till 9 on, and you're going to hear about it in the announcements this Tuesday. We need to pray and ask God for revival. We need to pray and ask God to have America repent and turn back to God. We need to pray and ask God for righteousness to prevail in this country again and for the church to be revived. And I preach it and I say it and I'm saying it right now. And I'll guarantee you 85% of the people here, it's the last thing on your mind to do for Tuesday morning. But can I challenge you? Let's go to God. Jesus said, you want a full life? You want an enriched life? You've got to be a prayer warrior. You need to understand there's a God in heaven, a merciful God in heaven. And he is waiting to hear your prayers. And I'll be right at the throne, right hand to the throne of God. And I'll be interceding on your behalf. And the Holy Spirit will be that filter that brings your prayers to the throne of God. And if you'll be a prayer warrior, your life will be enriched. I'm telling you, if you have a prayer closet, your life will change. You won't drift like you've been drifting. If you'll have a time of serious prayer with God every day, the need of the hour is prayer. You say, man, I want peace and I want the blessing of God. Go to Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. Just two verses, verses 6 and 7. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be known unto God. Bring your needs, your burdens, your desires, let them be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your life will be enriched. Jesus said 7 things. Be a merciful man or woman of God. Don't waste time with those that really aren't interested in the things of God. You continue to pray for them. You continue to leave that door open, but spend your time better than that. There's a great need of prayer. I need your prayer today. I'm going to leave here right after the morning service. I'm going to get on my horse. I'm going to head down to Jackson, Michigan, and preach revival down there at Loomis Park Baptist Church. And then after that is done, on Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be preaching in Saginaw at the Triumphant Church Conference. And I need your prayers that day because I have the 1 o'clock hour, which you know when that is, that's in the afternoon. That's right after lunch. Because I'm such a big shot preacher, they gave me that prime time right there. I need your prayers on that day. Brother Hal Hightower, he's going to be right after me. So maybe I can wake them up for him. I'm not sure. But you know what? For me to go without God's people praying, that's empty. Now, I'm going to be praying. You can be sure of that. But I need your prayers. You need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need one another's prayers. That's what prayer meeting is about. That's what the prayer closet is about. And that's how you get the peace of God. You want your life rich? Well, you got to have peace of God, right? And Paul said to the church at Philippi, you'll have peace that passeth all understanding. It comes right from the hand of God. Righteous judgment. Be merciful. Don't waste your time with cynics. Need of prayer. And then how about verse 12? Go back to chapter 7 and verse 12 again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And this is the law of the prophets. He says, be selfless. Narcissism is the curse of America. The curse of the age in which we live. It is childish. It is fleshly. It is the opposite of Jesus. You or I, we're not the center of the universe. I'll tell you something else. Neither is Washington and neither is Lansing. The center of this universe is the throne of God. And narcissism, it isn't about getting these things straightened out in my life so that I can have more blessings from God, so I can get more money and I can have a nicer home and I can get a raise and I can get a better job. That's not what it is. It's about being a better testimony. It's about putting yourself in the place where God can bless you so that you can bless others. And as a child of God, we need to learn this selfless way. You know the way to get is to give. The way to lead is to serve. The world has that completely turned around. But God says, in my family, this is how it's going to work. Some of you know this. Many of you know this. Can't outgive God. Can't outlove God. Man, I could never do enough for him. And he gives it back to me 100-fold. Over and over again. So he's reminding his people. He's saying, number 5, be selfless. Look at chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You've heard me preach this before. Heaven is not for the elite, but it is exclusive. It's only through Christ, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That is what is so wrong with ecumenicalism. You can't choose a path to heaven. You come by way of the cross. You come by way of Jesus. You come by way of the atoning blood of the Son of God, or you don't go to God's heaven. It says straight is the gate. Not only are there false prophets, there's false professors. And of course, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And then he said, what he's going to say here in these next couple of verses is real. It's not about whether you're a tree or not. It's whether you bear fruit. He says in verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Ensure salvation. Make sure you're born again. So big. This next point is simply this. Let me rehearse the points again. Number one, merciful, righteous judgment. Not compromising truth, but showing mercy. Number two, don't waste your time with cynics. They're important. Their soul is just as eternal. But if they're telling God no, then let it go and go to the next person. Continue to pray for them. Continue to keep the door open. There's a great need of prayer. You want a rich life? Learn to ask God for things. Be selfless. A sure salvation. Make sure you're born again. And then verses 15 through 23, and I already started reading some of those verses. Don't be a spiritual sap. Don't be gullible. Don't believe everything that is preached in pulpits. Don't believe every periodical you read. Don't believe every podcast. Some podcasts, you shouldn't even be wasting your time. You shouldn't be listening to them at all. Don't believe them. It says in verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. They were never born again. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. False prophets abound. False professors. If they're a false professor, they are not a possessor. They do not. Jesus said, I never knew you. Don't be a spiritual sap. Try the spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Say, preacher, how do you do that? In light of the only godly standard and sure standard we have, the Bible. In light of the word of God, don't be gullible. Now look at the last few verses. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Build your life on Jesus. There is no foundation, there is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. As a child of God, make sure you're building your whole life story upon the word of God, upon the rock, Christ Jesus. If you build upon the sands of this culture, you probably have already experienced it if you've lived any kind of life. The sands are shifting under your feet. They're moving all of the time. They're constantly changing the field, moving the goalposts, changing the rules all along the way. That is humanity in their worst. Build your life on that which never changes, the word of God. Build your life on the rock, Christ Jesus. Know you're going to heaven. Man, be that merciful servant of God. Be a prayer warrior. Don't be a narcissist. Don't be full of yourself. Don't be a spiritual sap. Don't believe everything that's carrying a so-called Bible. And then build your entire life on the rock, Christ Jesus. Look what it says here in the last couple of verses now. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. You don't want to be a foolish man. Which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended. And make no mistake about it. Verse 25 and verse 27. In every life, the storms are coming. In every life, the rain will fall. The sands will shift. The rock is eternal. And it'll stand the test of time. The rain descended, verse 27. And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You don't want that to be your life story. And great was the fall of it. You don't want to be the fool. Say, I got a lot of time. No, you don't. I don't care if you're 18 years old. You don't have a lot of time. Man, life is that quick. And if you're thinking you're going to live to be 85, 90, 95, or that 50 is a long ways away, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And we know our Lord is returning soon. Can I encourage you? You want the best life that you can have in this world, and you want it with the right motive so you can do more for God? Then what you've got to do is you've got to show a little mercy, know right from wrong, and show mercy. And be that helpful child of God. Don't waste your time, because time is precious. The need of the day is prayer. Be a prayer warrior. Be selfless. Don't be a narcissist. Make sure you're saved. That's obvious. Don't be gullible. Don't be a spiritual sap. And in what life you have, build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And once again, without Christ, there is no sure foundation. And everything's going to keep on changing. I could take this last point and summarize it by saying this. Hold on to your Bible. Hold on to the Word of God. I was at a Right to Life banquet in St. Ignace on Tuesday, and Judge Wagner was speaking, and he made a point that I'd never put it together before. And I thought, wow, that's good. And he's talking about how we want Supreme Court justices and judges that are constitutionalists, that they don't believe in a living constitution where they just keep changing it, and you read it the way you want to read it, and you interpret it the way you want to interpret it. And it's not like the Constitution's inspired or anything, but he said these new judges, these left-wing judges, they're reading everything into the Constitution that isn't even there, and our forefathers had no intention of it being there, and they're writing a new Constitution. I thought, that's how it is in the family of God with all of these new translations. Man, we've got the Textus Receptus. We've got the Word of God right here in our hands. And all these, and what's happening is there's that drift left because everybody's got their own little interpretation. I thought, wow, that is quite an analogy. And it hits home. Can I tell you this morning? Hang on to your Bible. Hang on to the Word of God. I want to read a poem that I read here once before because Brother Strange, who I talk to on the phone about twice a month, he's a godly old man, and he told me the story behind this poem. I put my Bible down, and I know some of you have heard it before, but it's been a while. Listen to it. Because if you put your Bible down, your life is... 10 years from now, should the Lord tarry, you won't even be the same person. If you put your Bible down. This was written by a preacher who went to prison. And the guard came by one day and saw him sitting on his bunk with his head bowed low. This is the story. There was a man of God who sat in a prison cell. He had preached the word of God. Everyone had known him well. Now he sits with his head bowed. He hardly makes a sound because one day he decided to put his Bible down. His cellmates, they all wondered why to prison he did go, for he had done his best for Jesus. Why is his head so low? And they asked, why are you here, Christian? And they gathered round. The man then told his story. I put my Bible down. I thought that it was harmless to skip a day or two of reading my devotions. I had other things to do. Then my new nature grew weak and the devil came to town. I could not win the battle because I put my Bible down. I did not know how to fight him. I did not know what to say, for I had not read God's word or took the time to pray. Oh, I went on serving Jesus. How godly I did look, but I did not have the power that comes from God's dear book. So now I sit in prison. An inmate, just like you. My reputation is all ruined. My preaching days are through. That is why I hang my head and my face wears a frown, because I regret that day I put my Bible down. Oh, Christian, hear the message from this man's prison cell. There are children who need a leader. There are sinners going to hell. There are blessings to obtain. We must win the victor's crown. May you never have to say these words. I put my Bible down.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.